what we need this morning. Y'all give him a hand. You preach. I got it. You preach. I got it. I'll hold it for you. You preach, man. Right. I got it.
My name is Billy Champion. I would tell you my last name, but it don't mind. I'm going to tell you, it's a chapter that I read. She told me, it's the pastor, Ryan Angel. And I read that chapter. And if something got a hold of me, and I don't know what it was, but I do know what it was. It was the Lord. He got a hold of me. I used to do some things unbelievable. But he changed my life. I don't smoke no more. I don't drink no more. I used to use street drugs. Marijuana. And he stopped me from all of that. I've stopped all of that. Amen. I don't do that no more. Yeah. When I leave this world, I want to go to a better place.
Yes, sir.
I don't want my soul to go to hell. I don't want no rock to be in my place. And so that's all I have to say.
What happened that night you read that 103? You told me.
Yeah, I read Psalm 103. And I just cried out to God. It did something to me. He touched my whole life. He touched my heart. And he coming back. He came back yesterday. He tried to get me, lady tried to get me to smoke some weed with her yesterday. He came back, but I put the devil up on my feet.
Amen.
You know, I said, devil, you can't control my life now. And that's what I do, believe in the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to thank all y'all for praying for me. I have to have a colonoscopy Tuesday. And I believe I'll be all right as long as I have my hands in the God, in the Lord's hands.
Yes, sir. Yes, all right. God bless you.
So I want to say thank all y'all for praying for me.
Thank you, Mr. Billy. We love you. We love you. Mr. Billy Champion, y'all. Walking testimony. Every time I see him, he got something to testify about. Amen. Amen. You didn't tell him all of that about 103. You don't want me to say the rest of it? You all right with it? All right, so he's reading Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, forgetting out all of his benefits, who has healed all of my diseases, forgiven all of my iniquities. And so he's reading this thing, right? And the Lord walked in the room. He said he felt the presence of God so strong. He started crying right here like a little baby last week. Just cried and cried and cried. I mean, when you sense, see, that's something that can't be preached. That's something that I can't, you know, that Pastor Paul, that rest of we can't, that Pastor Matt, you can't give that, you know. You can't express that enough. But when you start getting in the Word, because the Word of God, man, it's I like what Paul Gray says, it's Jesus in a leather jacket. I mean, Jesus is not the paper and the ink, but the Word himself dwelt among us, and he died. 3 days, he rose again, and now he's ascended on high, seated at the right hand of majesty. I mean, that's it right there. You start to get in that Word, and man, it all of a sudden, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, Jesus himself will walk in the room and you'll never be the same again, ever. I mean, there's all of us want to change. You come here because you want to change. You come here because stuff ain't been right. It ain't been right. It's not going the way it needs to go. I am here because I need change. And I'm here to tell you, if you need change, the change is found in this right here. You take this thing right here and you start putting this Word in you, and my friend, I guarantee you, Jesus will come in the room. And once you've experienced the presence of majesty, when you've sensed his presence in the room, I'll never forget, it happened to me one time. We were at another church, service was going on. I hit the floor, and I don't do this kind of stuff, y'all. I might be a little wild, but I just, you know, I don't get just ignorant unless the Lord just requires ignorance, you know, to get through whatever we're going through. It's okay. All right. Like David said, King David looked at his wife, he said, I've only begun to defile myself. Like, you see nothing yet. But man, this service was going on. And I hit the floor. I'm not talking about on my knees. You know, you can kneel, but then there's this term, it's called a kowtow. Do y'all know what that means? That means you put your forehead, you get on your knees and you put your forehead on the floor and your hands on the floor. You are as low as you can get. Visualize the way that people approach the emperor of China, the way you used to approach him. You know, they get extremely low. It's kowtow. Man, I did that. Boom. Afraid to open my eyes for what I might see. A fear, a reverence of what was in the room. And I just sensed his presence. There was a door over here on this side of the auditorium. There was a door over here. And I just sensed his presence move across the room. Slowly. And there was just this reverence in me. I just couldn't open my eyes. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. But I knew that Jesus was in the room. I knew it. I didn't have to see him. I didn't have to look at him. I knew he was there. And the great thing was is after I, you know, sometimes you just get this release thing that happens to you. You just feel like everything's okay and, all right, let's look up, man. And I looked up, and there were people in the room that I knew their personal relationships with each other that were hugging and making restoration, and pieces were getting put back together. There were some folks who were just laid across the floor, just Lord, just dealing with them. They're just there. Just spending time with the Lord, getting things right with Him. When you experience that, when you get to that point and that level, you'll never go back to the other. Your life will never, ever, ever be the same. Spend time in the Word, y'all. Alone. Get quiet. Just you and Jesus. He will come in the room. Everybody looking for something real. There's nothing more real than that. When you experience His presence, there's nothing more real than that. There ain't no crack pipe that can do it. There ain't no marijuana that can do it. There ain't none of this other mess that they say that everybody be smoking and putting in their bodies. There is nothing else out there that will match. Yeah, mojo. It don't come even close. It don't get nowhere close to experience His presence. So you came here for change this morning. That's where your change lies. It lies in the Word of God, in the presence of Jesus. Amen? All right, there we go. How's that? Good. Yeah, we got a message this morning. Y'all ready? Okay. Called WWJD. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Now, what would Jesus do? Stephen. We're still working on Stephen, y'all. We're still trying to get him right. Hey, Sarah, can you put that first little thing up there? Look at there. How many of y'all got one in back 1994? Huh? 1994, 1998, then they come back a little bit. Then we start putting the little fishes on the back end of the cars, right? Yeah, T-shirt, WWJD. Don't raise your hand, but there might be a tattoo or two in here that got WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? That's what that means, in case you didn't know. It don't mean what would Jeremy do. You got a WWJD? Oh, you don't? Okay. If you got a WWJD tattoo, let me know later, all right? I'm playing with you. Man, I have seen 1.5 million of these things on people. On TV, on the street, at the club. Being real here, at the liquor store, down there at that little white building down there right off of Cherry Street in the backyard. I know where that building is. Is it still there? Cherry Street. Don't none of y'all know. Y'all ain't from Minden. Okay. Never mind. Little white building like back behind and had one door on it. Anyway. Bad stuff, man. I'm glad y'all don't know where Cherry Street is. Now everybody's going to get on their GPS and go to Cherry Street. What's Greg talking about? If you see it, keep going. I'm just warning you. Don't go down there. That's right. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Bill? Don't go looking. That's right. Don't go down there. You might find something. What would Jesus do, man? If Jesus was here today, what would he be doing? If he's in the earth today, what would he be doing? How would he be acting? Where would he be at right now? What would he be doing today, right now? What would Jesus do? Be down on Cherry Street? Iran? Syria? Changing the world around him. Give me the next slide. This is my little deal I'm going to come up with. See that right there? Instead of WWJD, I think it ought to be HDYKWJWDIYDKWJD. Now, for those of you that can't read this, is how do you know what Jesus would do if you don't know what Jesus did? Y'all like that? T-shirt. Yeah. HD. Why? Can you imagine? Instead of saying WWJD, hey man, WWJD, hey man, HDYKWJWDIYDKWJD. Sup? That's what I'm talking about. You got to turn around, do the hokey pokey, put your left arm in. How do you know what Jesus would do if you don't know what Jesus did? Paul said last two weeks, John chapter 14. Y'all get there. Get your Bibles out. We're finna look at some stuff. John chapter 14. Chain's still falling. John chapter 14, verse 8 is where I'm going to start. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said unto him, he said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Man, have I been with you so long, and yet you don't know me, CCAM? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, this is in red in my Bible, okay? The words of the Master, the same guy that said John 3:16, huh? It's the same book. This is just a few chapters down. Everybody knows how to quote John 3:16, right? Y'all believe that, don't you? For God so loved the world, what? That who shall believe in him would not what? But, woo, we go, yeah, how? But whenever we come to looking at this one, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The same dude, the same book in the Bible, the same Holy Spirit told John to write this thing down. The works that I do, you will do also. And greater works will these will you do because I go to my Father. WWJD. What would he be doing? What would he be doing? What would Jesus be doing in Minden, Louisiana today? In the state of Louisiana? In the United States, in the world? Where would he be at and what would he be doing? And I tell you the truth, that he left so that we could do that. And so that we could fulfill all the things that he asked us to do. I mean, I could preach and we could tell all the stories about all the stuff that Jesus did, but I don't think that if he were here, he would tell all the stories about what he did. I think he'd be doing stuff and telling you stories about what's happening right now. And he may pull up some of his old parables and some of his old messages that he had before and preach those old messages, you know, and talk about some things. But I think that I really truly believe that whenever Jesus, if Jesus were here right now, what Jesus would be doing would be Acts 10:38. Go there. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. If he was here on this earth right now today, what would Jesus be doing? Look at 10:38. It said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Peter had this thing knocked out, man. Peter spent some time with Jesus. A lot of time. He was one of the three that whenever Jesus said, hey, man, let's go and pray, he was one of the ones that went with him. He was one of the inner circles, what they call it. Man, he's in there. Huh? He's in the big three. That's right. Man, Peter up in there. And Peter is sharing about what Jesus did, and he summed it up like this. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. That's all of it put together. All the gospels, you could take them and right there. What did he do? He did good and healed all that were oppressed of the enemy. My question is, not only is what would Jesus do, what will you do? What will we do? What's our deal? Where are we? What are we doing? Huh? The works that I do, you would do also, and greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. My goodness gracious, what are we doing, y'all? Where we at, church? Now, don't get me wrong. We got the food pantry over here. We feeding folk. We housing people over there on Fuller Street. We doing some things. The church, CCAM, is doing some things. But my question is, what are you doing? Where are you at? Tomorrow morning is going to be Monday morning. All right? People are going to get up, go to work. What are you doing? What is the whole point of it? What is our motive tomorrow morning when we get up? Are we getting up in the morning and saying, you know what, I'm going to do the works of Jesus today because he said I could do what he does and I could do it better? What Paul said last week. Is that what we're going to get up and do in the morning? See, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, whenever Paul said that thing the other day, I was like, man, I ain't been doing right. I've been trying to make that dollar. I've been trying to house stuff. I've been trying to boat stuff and trying to kids and baseball and blah and this and that. And man, I got this going on and that going on. And the Lord just dealing with me about it, y'all. What we doing? And I understand all this stuff needs to be done. It's stuff that needs to be taken care of. And I'm not telling you not to take care of your business. But Jesus, while he was on this earth, taking care of his, he has some business to do, and the business was the cross. He had that business to do, and on the way to doing business, he was what? Doing good and healing people. On his way to go and do what he needed to do, he's trying to set people free, letting them free, doing good, doing his thing, arms growing back, people raised from the dead on his way to his objective. And we all have an objective to fulfill every day of our lives. There's something that we need to do. There's this big vision that we got to fulfill for our lives. What do you want to be when you grow up? We ask that stuff to our kids. I mean, it's just things that we are always constantly looking forward for something that we're trying to accomplish. I don't care who you are. You're trying to get somewhere. All I'm saying is on the way there, do what Jesus did on his way to his work. What did he do, man? He, man. Everywhere he went, people just followed him. Why? Well, because he could feed 5,000 people with nothing. With just a little old five-piece, or is it a two-piece chicken dinner with some crackers? Charles, man, you get down there at Captain D's. Get it at Captain D's. Men and seafood, okay. He could feed a lot of people with just a little bit of nothing. Folk following him. Man got raised from the dead. Folk following him. Somebody sick. He says something about them being better. Folk following him around, saying what this is dude going to do. Then if you read in Luke, Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 10, he sent out more people to go do what he did. He even showed us in the Word what we would be doing. Then at the end of Mark, y'all go there. Mark 16. I hope I got it in here. Yeah, Mark 16, verse 14. This is a Great Commission. Y'all ever heard of that before? What does that mean? Great Commission? This is what you got to do. Lady appealed to 11 and sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, go into what? All the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. How many believers I got in here today? I mean, you at church, you halfway kind of, sort of believe, kind of, if you're in here. These signs will follow you. In my name, they would do what? Cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, see, we usually stop right there. After the Lord had spoken to him, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And confirming the word through the accompanying, I can't say that word, through the signs that was with them. I can't say accompanying. Accompanying. The Lord working with them and confirming what? The word. See, when we start to realize that we can do what Jesus did, all we got to do is go out into this little old dying world that we in, that's just going to wherever in a handbag, and the ISIS and the killing and the this and the that and the drinking and the smoking and the doping and the running and the this and boom, 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 boom. We go in there and find out if we will go and bring that word, he'll bring the signs with us. You don't have to muster up nothing. You don't have to muster up one blessed thing. You don't have to heal not one person. You don't even save anybody. You don't get them saved. You just tell them a story. Ask them if they believe it. Yeah, okay, great. Wanna pray a prayer about it? Sure, done deal. What'd you do? Talked. Brought the word. And the signs will follow behind that word. It's not up to us to work anything out. It's up to us just to go. See, now you gotta realize here that Jesus, man, Jesus is a big deal. Don't get me wrong, but Jesus said, look, I can't be everywhere all the time forever. I mean, he laid down his glory, came to the earth to be like us. Okay, so he came here to be like us. I mean, had it not been for the cross, he would have expired at some point. I mean, he grew up. He had to go to the bathroom. He had to shave, clean out from under his fingernails, right? He had to groom. Is that what you said, groom? And he did what? Bridget Mourney with a beard? You're getting me off, man. He just like us. Had to do all those things. So had he not gone to the cross and fulfilled his calling, his body would have expired, all right? Then God would have to line up a whole nother Jesus for another however many generations it took for him to line up the Jesus that he sent, line up a whole new deal and try to get the whole thing done all over again. So what Jesus done, because he's smart, and him and God got together, they all sat down, said, hey, what's the deal, what we're going to do on this thing? Well, what we'll do is we'll let you go, all right? You're my son. I'm going to send you in this world. I love these folk. I don't care what they look like. I love them anyway. It's kind of like cousins, you know, aunts and uncles. I don't care what they look like. I love them anyway, right? He said, I'm going to send you down there. You go down there and you be a perfect sacrifice. First of all, for your sacrifice, I want you to show them how to live. I'm going to show you how to be. I want you to teach them my ways and how I really am, how I really be. Show them how they're supposed to live. Then I want you to go to the cross. I want you to die. In 3 days, I'm going to raise you back. Okay? Deal? Deal. Done. Let's do it. And Jesus came down here. When he left, after he was raised from the dead and was set up at the right hand, like his body just went up. That's what the Bible says. It said they looked up, they saw him go up in the clouds, he was gone. All right? That's what happened. So he's up there in majesty, sat down at the right hand of God, and he said, look, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost with you. He's going to help you get this thing done. Now you go. Now why did he do that thing? Because, number one, he would have expired. Number two, there ain't no way for him to be everywhere at the same time in that body that he was in while he was here. He couldn't do it. So he had to get himself, what, like the Twinkie? Y'all remember the Twinkies and the Ding Dong? He had to get himself up in you, up in there, so now he could be everywhere we are, collectively. He's everywhere that we go. He's everything that we touch, every person we talk to, he is there in us. He now has the opportunity to touch the entire world through his church. What would Jesus be doing? He'd be getting his job done. He'd be getting his thing done on this earth. He'd be knocking it out of the park consistently. And he's here. He's in us. He's told us that we can do what he did. He's told us and commissioned us to go and do like he said. He expects us to step out and do the things that he did. He's looking for his church to get lined up and get rolling. Why is that? So he can fulfill the fullness of his ministry. He's not done yet. He still has to bring us all home. He's going to come back on a white horse. He's going to have something on this thigh and something on that thigh, and there's going to be blood up to the horse's bridle. It's going to be crazy. He's going to come back. But he's looking to us and asking us, what are you going to do? You going to help me get this thing done? Amen? I guess I'm hitting on something here that, yeah. So, yeah, well, all right, in 2.5 minutes. Well, I'm going to try to do this in 2.5 minutes. So the problem is, for me, the problem was always with me was that I'm not good enough to do this Jesus. That was always my problem. I ain't good enough. Lord, there got to be somebody else. Look how broke, busted, and disgusted I am. There got to be somebody else to do this thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Boom. So whenever you get born into Christ, I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've been doing, what you look like, how you feel. I don't care about any of that. When you get in Christ, you're a new creation. You're brand new. Something never before existed, right? If you continue reading, hey, y'all go to that. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, if you would, Miss Sarah. You're a brand new creation, something that never before existed. Right after that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, I sprung this one on her, y'all. There we go. It says this, it says, for he, talking about God, made him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He was that for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. Paul said it last week. He said, you have a brand new identity. You identify yourself completely and brand new. You are no longer yourself. You belong to him. So you are now the righteousness of God in him. So if you're trying to figure out who you are him. You are in him. You are him. You are now a little Jesus on this earth trying to fulfill the plan of God in the life that you live. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. If you have accepted Jesus, you are in the club. You got the t-shirt. You ain't got to pay no dues. You show up to every meeting. You're there. Man of God said to me the other day, he said, man, you're there already. Quit trying to work for something. You're there. You're already there. Church, we've already been placed in a position. So, Sarah, I'm going to do it to you again. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I think it's somewhere around verse 6. I think. Back up one. Go to verse 5. 4. There we go. There's my butt God. That's what I always look for, butt God. Everybody got a butt, even God. Look at that, butt God. He does. He showed it to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, the last verse. Check it out. Exodus 33, the last verse, he showed it to Moses. Because he said, I'll go by and I'll show you my back parts. What are your back parts? Anyway. Butt God. Amen. Who is rich in mercy. Man, he got a lot of mercy. He got to have it on me too. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. All right? Now look at this before we move on. Made us alive together with Christ. Past tense, alive together with Christ. Already alive with Christ. Okay? Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Next verse. And raised us up together. Stop. Past tense, raised us. Us up together with who, Paul? Who do we think that is? With Christ, right? Been raised up together with him and made, past tense, us sit together with who? With Christ. Where? In heavenly places. What? In Christ Jesus. Keep going. Let's go on with this thing. This is good stuff. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace. Where? In his kindness towards us. My goodness gracious. Amazing grace. Next verse. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. 10 is where I want to land. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? Good works. What did Jesus do whenever he was on this earth? He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. He went about what? Doing what? Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. We created in him for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. He made you alive with Christ. Man, let me back up. My goodness gracious. Paul says in Galatians 2:20 that you've been crucified with him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. One of the other translations says, it's now Jesus using my body. You crucified with him. Then Ephesians tells us that we were made alive with him. And that we were raised with him. And we were set down with him. Have I got postgraduate? Have I got postgraduate on you here? This is not. I'm not trying to get you a doctorate degree. I mean, this is simple. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20. Look at this. Same book. Ephesians. Same thought. This is right before it. Verse 20 says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. Next verse. Far above all what? Principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's what God did when he raised Jesus. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's when he raised Jesus, he set him in heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name. He has just set him way high. And then if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Now where's Jesus seated? He's in heavenly places, way up there, way high. Verse 6, and raised us up together with who? Y'all remember? Christ. And made us sit together with who? Where? In those same heavenly places. Far above all the mess that's going on in this world. Not getting it, all right? Peter got out of the boat and did what? On what? Water. Peter walked on water. And man, where was he going to? Remember who he was going to? Jesus. Man, there you go. That's a kids' church answer. Jesus. I was waiting for one. I like it. This is the right answer. Kids always have the right answer. Just ask them. Especially 14-year-olds. What's up, baby? Love you. Anyway, he's walking to Jesus, fulfilling an objective, right? And as he's going, he is walking over the obstacle that kept him from getting where he needed to be. He needed to be with Jesus. He's in the boat. Jesus out there. There's water in the middle. Water's the problem. What are we finna do? We're gonna walk over. You've been raised with him, seated with him, heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name, the same. And up, up there. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting for? Why are we worried about money and this hurt and that's over here and this right? All that stuff been taken care of. He was made poor so that we could become rich. He was made sickness so that we could be health. He was made sin so that we could be righteous. Then he gave us his spirit and his word and said, go. What would he do? What would Jesus do? Man, Jesus would be going in this world every single day. He couldn't wait to get up. The man would sleep just a couple hours. If you read in the Bible and look at the chronology of what he did, he would just sleep for just a short little old time, get up, pray. And then go and do what his God was telling him to do that day. Man, church, if we just get to that point, we can get to that point, we'll change Minden. Huh? We'll change Louisiana. Well, we'll go to Arklatex first. Change Louisiana. Change the nation. You want to make a change in this world? You want to see some things happen? You want to see some things? It has to start with you making the decision that you're going to do what Jesus called you to do. And what is that, Jesus? What do you want me to do, Jesus? The works that I did. Go do them. What you saw me do, you go do that and watch you do better than I did. Watch you do more. It's burning in me. I don't know. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Got to know what he did to figure that one out. All right, that took 12 minutes. Huh? Depends on the watch. Two. Yours says two. I thought so. All right, Joseph's playing baseball, right? I bought him half a dozen baseball. He never played for. He did a little T-ball. That's about it. Now he's going live arm. Oh, yeah. T-ball to live arm. Glory to God. Boom. Now, Daddy, how many strikes do you have? Joseph wants to play baseball, right? So we go and we buy him half a dozen balls, okay, at the Minden Athletic, $3.25 a piece. Yeah, it's expensive. We bought half a dozen balls. We bought a bat. We got a glove, some cleats, socks and all that stuff, drawers, you know. And he goes out there, and all these other kids got this little bag. And this is no condemnation if your kid's got a bag. That's great. God bless you. I'm glad for you. But these kids got this bag that looks like folks that's just trying to catch the airport. Go and play baseball. And I ain't trying to be bad. This is just what I thought when I saw it. I was like, man, where they traveling somewhere. And that's what it is. They play travel ball, so they got the thing, and they're going to do this. And it's got two bats sticking out, about four or five gloves in it. They got six pairs of cleats in there. They got a change of clothes in case they got to play another game. I mean, these folks is for real, you know? That ain't us. That ain't us. Okay, that's just not us. That ain't us. And so JoJo says, Daddy, they got a bag. I said, yeah. And look, he got two bats. I said, man, you can't swing two bats at the same time. You need one bat. Learn how to use that one. Just learn how to use that bat, and you buy all the bats you want from then. You know, if you could put that bat that I bought you on that ball 30% of the time, you will be in the Hall of Fame. Just do that. All right, Daddy, he's got two pairs of cleats. That's good. God bless him. I looked at Joseph and I said, man, I got you a bat and a glove. What else do you need? I mean, he's playing baseball. What else you need? Bat. You don't even have to have the cleats. You need a bat and a ball. I think God's screaming down from heaven, same thing. Yeah. I gave you of my son, my word, my spirit. I've anointed you. I've appointed you. I've set you on high. I've made you the righteousness of me. I've given you of my righteousness. What else do you need? Huh? What else do we need to play the game? Coach put me in. Man, coach has already said, get your butt in the game, and we're still sitting on the bench. We're going to have a rally. Get your rally hats on, everybody. We're finna rally it up. Man, we're going to win this thing. Yeah! Whose bad is it? It's yours. Oh, man, we're going to have a rally. Yeah! We're trying to win the game from the bench. We're trying to do something riding the pine. Got a bag, two or three bats, got 12 gloves, two pairs of cleats, extra uniform for whenever we get dirty, got the Oakley glasses, sunglasses on. Boy, we looking right. Jesus done made us right, bought, paid for everything. It's all paid for. Just give to us. And what we doing? We sitting on the bench. Ain't getting between the lines. We just sitting on the bench wanting to know who's going to go play. Who's going to go play? Man, it's a good game right here. Who's going to go play? Man, I'm ready. Put me in, coach. All I need is a bat and glove. Put me in right now. And that's been his attitude. He don't care, man. He don't care at all. Put me in, coach. Put me in. Coach, can I go play? Coach, I want to play. Coach, put me in. Put me in, coach. Come on, church. It's time to get up. It's time to get up and get out. It's time to get put on your big boy britches, your big girl britches, and get busy doing what we're supposed to be doing. Don't be riding the pine no more. Who likes to ride the pine? Nobody. Except the church. They love it. Having said all of that, y'all smell when I'm stepping in here? Is it making any kind of sense at all? I mean, this is for real, y'all. This ain't no light thing. People's lives. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What do gates do? Gates try to keep you out. And guess what they're doing? They're keeping us out because we too busy sitting inside our little old sanctuary. I like a church. It's a nice church. Can we go there? Yeah, okay, all right. And then next week, what we do? We go right back to church and we sit right back down in the same spot. I'm guilty of it right there. And then the next week, you know, we did come back right there. And then they did right there. And right there. Every week. The question is when you're going to get in the game? Do the works of Jesus, and you'll do greater than he did. You'll do better. You'll do much better than what he did. Amen. Y'all stand up.